morning because we have invited Jamie to come and to share a presentation with us in regards to the ministry that he and his family, Susan, his wife, and their son, Tommy, are all headed to, Lord willing, India, to establish a training facility there to train local Indian pastors. So it's an exciting thing. We've known the board some time now, and Marissa and I have had the blessing and privilege of discipling Jamie and Susan. I was discipling Jamie and Marissa. Susan, here is the unique thing just in God's providence and how God arranges things. There are a number of people that are here that usually aren't here, but a number of people that are here that have an active ministry, and a number of people here that serve the Lord in ways that we would consider missions related. And yet, not everybody in here serves in the exact same way. So it's interesting that Jamie is here because he is going to make a presentation, or he's going to present some of the information of this school and what he's going to do out there. But it is different than some of the ministry that we are doing here. So we can sit back and really think about how God purposefully and intentionally is reaching people all across the globe in ways that if we only had one means, it would be impossible. But because God gives us different callings that are unique to our giftedness and sends us in places that we probably wouldn't go, His glory is spread across the globe and His gospel going out to people that have never heard it or people that are continuing to ignore it. So praise God, because yesterday we had Larry's memorial, and it was a memorial that was set to honor a man who had given his life to God. And we were able to see, and those of us that know Larry personally know exactly what God can do when somebody surrenders their life over for the Lord's use. And so my prayer for those that are in ministry here is that we would have that same kind of heart. And also, as the Lord prepares Jamie and Susan to go to India, that He would be revving their heart up so much in the months leading up to it that they're ready to burst when they get there. So let me say a prayer for Jamie, and then after that, he'll come up and do his thing. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank You for You have given us a calling to go into the world and make disciples, Lord. And it's not a calling for merely for elders or for men, but Lord, we are called as Christians to never hide our light under a basket. We are called to live with a confidence and to live with a love for Christ that is so clearly evident to others that they would even inquire of that light that is in us. Help us, Lord, to never be ashamed of our Lord. And in those times when we do experience those brief times of shame where perhaps we should have evangelized, perhaps we should have invited somebody to church or called on somebody and confronted somebody in love, but for whatever reason, whether it was our own comfort, whether it was the fear of man, whatever it was, Lord, bring us to quick repentance, to turn from those times and to be eager, Lord, to pray and ask that You would give us plenty of opportunities to share the love of Christ with those people that You have purposefully placed in our path. And not for us, Lord. Help us to shrink like John said, that Christ would be great. We need to decrease so that we would see an increase of Christ in us, that Your gospel would be presented without any hindrance in our character. We'd fight for holiness in our life so that so that we wouldn't be hypocritical when we would go and preach the gospel. But Lord, fill our hearts with courage and our minds with your word so that we would go forth and we would preach to whoever you call us to preach to for your glory, so that Christ would be exalted, so that when people see us and know us, they know that Christ is our Lord and Savior. For we have been called to this life not to be hidden away, Lord, and placed on some religious shelf for nobody to see. And even though we spend this time in this desert, there are plenty of people for us to reach, Lord. So let the communities that we have been planted in know Christ's love because the church has presented the gospel. Help us to be found faithful, Lord. And now fill Jamie with your spirit. Help his heart to be resolved in the convictions that you have given him to present on the things that you have given him, Lord. And help us to be edified and to be encouraged by what your plans are in his life and in Susan's life, Lord. And I do ask for a special blessing over them, Lord, that you would keep them, that you would protect them and grant them a fruitful ministry for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for allowing me to come here and talk about God's Word and what God's going to be doing through us in India. It's always an honor and a privilege to come here and speak to you guys, and I'm just so thankful for what God is doing even out here in Newberry Springs. So I don't know if Ray made it totally clear, but I'm also going to be giving, he also asked me to give a brief sermonette or exhortation to you guys. So I will be talking about what God will be doing through us in particular in India, but I'm going to be spending hopefully a brief amount of time just kind of giving an exhortation or an encouragement on the mission of the church. And it was really even encouraging to my own heart, even the songs that Owen chose and that we sing, because really one of the truths behind that is that Christ is going to build his church, and it's not ultimately dependent on our faithfulness to him or about how much talents and giftedness we have, but about Christ being faithful to what he said he will do in us. And that's a great confidence, and that's truly the only confidence that we can have to go across the world and train pastors and evangelize. There's really no hope in building Christ's church for him if we aren't dependent on Christ to work through us to build his church, right? So I'm just going to give a brief exhortation and encouragement. And when we think about the concept of biblical missions, there are a lot of ways to define it, and there's theological, historical, sociological ways, and it's not explicitly a biblical term, right? But for this brief time, I just want us to take a step back and think about what the mission of the church is. And when we think about that, I think most of us would go to the Great Commission, and if you want, you can turn there, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. When we think about why has God left us on this earth, right? Why didn't he just save us and send us straight to heaven? Why has God left us on this earth? And really it can be summed up in the Great Commission Christ left to his disciples and to all that they would teach. Jesus says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So everything we are to do as Christians is supposed to be a part of the Great Commission. And There are, if you look at the text, it doesn't just involve evangelism. It doesn't even just involve teaching people about Christ that are saved. It involves teaching them to keep, obey all that Christ commanded them. So essentially, if you can concisely sum up what the mission of the church is in this age, it is to evangelize the lost, and then to edify them and teach them in the church to Christ-likeness through obedience to Him. And this includes teaching them all of God's Word, all of the Scriptures that God has given to us, and not just filling our heads with knowledge, but using our God-given giftedness to build each other up in love to holiness and maturity in Christ. So this is the mission of the church. And this is really important to keep in mind, because we might think that, okay, everything we do is missions then, or we might have a missional mindset. And that's not bad to think like that, but if all we do is go to an unreached people group and evangelize them, or even give them a Bible in their tongue and then leave them without giving them a church that can disciple them and teach them to obey Christ and grow in holiness, that's not actually fulfilling the Great Commission, right? If all we do as a church has become so inward focused that we're just focused on teaching each other and helping us grow, but we're not actually reaching out to the lost that are around us, that's also not fulfilling the Great Commission, right? So we have to have a balanced mindset that takes a total view to what Christ has left us here on earth to do. God obviously has gifted some of us to be in different ways. Some of us do focus on evangelism or camps. Some of us focus on teaching those that are saved in this church. But everything that we do has to be in concert with other believers to not just save the lost, but bring them into a healthy church, and to not just stay in this building and teach each other, but give us a heart to reach out to those, whether it's family or people at work, those in our community that don't know Christ. Or to put it another way, pursue love and edification that grows up other Christians into a maturity in Christ, while giving us the passion to reach the lost for Him. That is the mission of the church. And it can also be summed up in this 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2. And I'll just read the verse. Paul says, "And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So the first thing that you have to do is be saved, right? And then you have to entrust what we've been given to faithful men, and then they have to be taught such that they can actually pass it on to others as well, right? So that means it runs all the way from evangelism to an unreached group to being trained up in God's Word and holiness, that you can actually disciple someone else to be able to pass on what you've learned from God's Word, and so that they can go on and disciple, evangelize, maybe even church plant. So the point in laying this brief biblical foundation of the mission of the church is this, really, that the church is the only organism God has designed to fulfill the Great Commission. The local church is the absolute key and center of Christ's work on this earth. Parachurch organizations and missions boards are not bad, and God has used them, and Susan and I are going to be sent through a missions board, and we're going to work with a parachurch organization in India, as you'll see. But if those institutions are not in service of the furtherance of the local church, then they aren't doing what God has designed us to do. There is only one institution or body God has made. And you can even see that in, for example, Paul and Barnabas, but before they got sent out in Acts 13:3, they spent years at the local church in Antioch, and then they were sent out with the approval of the elders of that church. We can also, and you can turn to here, how are we to teach converts to obey and keep all that Christ commanded us? One of those passages is Ephesians 4. So we can turn to Ephesians 4. Obviously, there's a lot of places we could go to, but just to see the centrality of the church. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. So once a person has been saved, once they've been baptized, what are we to do with them? Well, we're supposed to bring them into the church, the local church, so that we can teach them. And Christ has built his program this way. And he says, and he himself gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So this is the mission of the church. Yes, it does involve going overseas to an unreached group or going to a different place, but it also means if you're here in this church, that means you can do your part to fulfill the Great Commission. Yes, that does involve evangelizing, and that could mean you don't need to go overseas, but the people that God has placed in your life here, and really having an intentionality, seeing every area of your life as part of the Great Commission and as part of the church that God has placed you in. God has gifted every single one of you. If you are in Christ, you have a Spirit-given gift that God has designed so that you can build up one another in this body. And the best thing about that, too, is that when the church, as Ray even prayed, when the church is holy, that also attracts unbelievers as well. We think about 1 Peter, right, where we're called to suffer and walk with a holy life so that unbelievers can see us and see how we respond to trials and see that God is with us, that they see our good works. So this is in the exhortation side of it is to we have to always keep a balanced, holistic view of what Christ has called us to do. Not just evangelism, not just teaching, but both at the same time. And every single one of us can do that. The encouragement part is that you don't need to go through a missions organization and go to some far off country to fulfill the Great Commission. You can just be faithful to what God has called you to do right here. And God might not give you as many opportunities to evangelize as, for example, people that are called to go to far-off areas, even around here, or people going over to India. But God will give you those opportunities, and God places you, He has placed you in this church every week, multiple times a week, and during the day, where you can edify one another with your gift and build each other up towards that holiness in Christ. This is, and the ultimate goal of all of this is the glory of Christ, right? If our focus is on, okay, I need to save as many people as possible, that's good. But if our focus is on the glory of Christ, then it will be saving people and teaching them to obey all that Christ has commanded us. So if we keep that as our focus, the glory and honor of Christ, both in seeing a sinner come to saving faith and also seeing his church walking in love and holiness, if we have that desire and we see that the local church is really the heart and the engine of it, and Christ has equipped us with everything that we need to fulfill it, you can do your part. And as Ray said again, we don't know how much God can do, but God can do way more than we can expect or think when we just live lives that are given over to Him, that are faithful to Him. And so I hope that is encouraging to you. This is why Christ has left us on this earth, to glorify Him. And we don't know how much time we have. Christ could call us home at any time. So let's be faithful servants, faithful stewards that are preaching the good news of the kingdom of God to the lost and edifying each other with our gifts to walk in holiness in Christ. Amen? All right. I tried to keep that very short, so how much time do we have left, Ray?
I think an hour and a half.
All right, cool. What I think we're going to do now is give a PowerPoint presentation on what God is going to be doing through us in India. So what I hope to do with this is just to share, and even just sharing with you guys what God is doing, hopefully this can be an encouragement. And when Susan and I first started thinking about like missions, overseas missions, we didn't start with like God appeared to us in a vision, or we had a burning like desire to like, okay, God's, you know, I saw a vision of an Indian person saying, come over and help us. And so it was really, we looked at the gift God had given us, and we're like, okay, there's needs everywhere in the world, right? But God, through our education and through her father being born in India, God seemed to be gifting us and leading us in a certain way. So let's just try and be as faithful as we can with the gifts God has given to us. And God is just, we've been taking one step at a time. God has kept on opening doors for us. To now, yeah, God has built into us that desire to where we're open to not just going to India, but staying there for the next 10, 15 years or more. And God has, it's just been pretty amazing to see how God has been pushing us towards this road and closing off all the other doors and giving us this desire and really bringing people from all over America and even India alongside us that are excited about what God's going to be doing. So I think if the PowerPoint can be brought up, I might just have to be, yeah, so this is the end of it, but, and that's good, but should be able to go to the start. Those are good prayer requests. Yeah, there we go. Oh, well, it's at the start. There we go. Awesome. All right. Do you mind going forward a couple times? I think it'll, yeah. So when we think about India, it is a country of many countries. It has 29 states, I think. Each state, almost every state, it's not just its own dialect, it has its own like language. And so the culture will be like very different. The language will not even be in the same like language family. So each state in India is very diverse, and you can go to the next slide. So when we think about India, right, that picture in the top left is the Taj Mahal. It's one of the most famous landmarks in India. Think about Bollywood movies, that's in the top right. Ray doesn't like them. He laughs at them. But they are very cheesy, very long, 3.5 hours long. But India makes the most movies actually out of any country in the world. And so that's a huge thing there. You see a lot of people there. As we'll see, India overtook China this year for the most people in the world, 1.4 billion people in a place a third the size of the U.S., which is wild. So they are mostly vegetarian. In the north of India, they'll eat more chicken and goat and lamb, but where like we'll be going in the south, most of the people there will be either vegan or vegetarian. And cows are sacred animals in Hinduism, which is the dominant like religion there. And so cows will be like stray dogs and cats. So if you ever go to India, you'll just see like cows wandering down like the freeway or down the city, and you're like, what's that doing there? But it's a cow. So you'll see those everywhere there. And you can go to the next slide. So as you see, 1.4 billion people, 90% of the people groups there are, is this, don't touch it? Okay, great. Thank you. It's the blessings of being at a small church is that you can just be like, hey, stop. 90% of the people groups in India are unreached, and that's more people groups than the rest of the world put together. And when we talk about unreached, that doesn't just mean that they aren't saved. It means that there's no Christian or church presence to them at all. So there's no ability for them to hear about the gospel right now. So that's obviously a huge number. And then when we think about evangelical Christians, some sites will say that it's 2 to 4% like Christian. So basically, 2% of India is professing evangelical Christian. And in some parts of India, that 2% of 1.4 billion, that's a lot of people. But in other parts, there's vast, vast parts of India that have never heard the gospel at all. And so 95% of the country is unreached, so over 1.3 billion people. They have more unreached people than any other country. So it's just crazy to think about how many people there have never even heard the gospel once. You can go to the next slide. So when we think about the history of India and missions, it actually does have a long history with missions, which is kind of interesting to think about, is that there's still so many unreached people there. But you can click next. And so that's the Apostle Thomas, and the early church tradition is that Thomas, after doing his thing with Jesus, went to India. He actually sailed to India and planted a church there and did evangelism and died there. And there's still people to this day in the far southwest of India, if you go, that'll call themselves Thomas Christians. And then the next one, William Carey. So the modern missions movement started in the late 1790s when William Carey went to India, and he translated, I think he had a team that translated, I think at the time, like at the end of his life, like 20 different languages or portions of scripture into the native tongues there, and he did the first Hindi Bible, which is the national language of India. So he did a lot of work there and had a huge team there, but it's still, despite its long history, you think about why are there still so many unreached people there? Well, one, I would think one is that because the cultures are so different and the languages are so different, it's very difficult for a foreigner to come and make a lot of progress unless they want to spend like multiple lifetimes trying to learn a new language for every different tribal area that they go to. But two is that there's always been a lot of persecution. You can kind of, so there's always been a lot of persecution of the church in India, and really in the last 15 years there's been a far-right Hindu nationalist party in power that's trying to turn India from a secular democracy into a Hindu state. And so India is now the 12th ranked worst country in the world for like persecution. And so some parts of India will be totally fine. No one will care that you're a Christian. Other parts of India, in the far northeast, for example, there's a civil war happening and Christians being killed and government doesn't care. So there's different parts of India can have a lot of persecution. And then the other thing that's been happening that's been very difficult is India has been really cracking down on almost any kind of foreign like missions work. So usually in the past you would be able to get a business visa or a tourist visa, go to India, do your thing, but now you have to leave every 6 months for 2 months, which is expensive and hard to stay there long term. And then they very commonly will just decide to not renew your visa. And so almost every missionary that we know of that isn't Indian has had to leave India because of these issues. So it's very difficult for outsiders to come and do long-term, full-time like work there. So we can go to the next slide. So why are Susan and I choosing to go to India? Well, one is because of the amount of unreached people there. So once again, obviously there's unreached people everywhere, and even in America there's large parts of it that I would argue are becoming unreached. But God has given us a heart to reach the vast amount of unreached people in India with the gospel. And you can go to the next one. And so my wife's father was born in India, came over here in his 20s, and so almost all of her dad's side still lives in India, and all of them are Hindu. Her dad is saved, but everyone else on her dad's side are there. And when we went over in 2018, we were able to have some good gospel conversations with them. But we hope to, as we're there, to really be a light to them and try and have more opportunities to talk to them about Christ. And then practically how we're able to go is, because I'm obviously not Indian, right? So how am I able to go to India? Well, Susan's dad, and this is just thinking about how God has gifted us towards India in particular, India has this program where if your father, your grandfather, or great-grandfather was born in India, you and your spouse can get a special like visa card that allows you to go there anytime you want, stay as long as you want. You don't have to renew it. You don't have to register as a foreigner. You have more like legal rights, and they can't just take the card away from you. They designed it to make it easy for Indians that had left India and had kids to come back to India. But that also works for me as well. So God has been very kind to even just practically, it's like, okay, God has given us this in to India that not a lot of people have. So I don't know what God has in store, but let's just try and be faithful and see what God does. And that was about 6 years ago or more even that we started thinking about India. And then now we're here to, as I'll share, we're about to move to India in January. So it's been pretty amazing to see how far God has brought us. Go to the next slide. So where we're going to be going in India is the state of Andhra Pradesh. That little star is the city. It's called Vizag. It's the capital of the state. It's also on the back of our prayer cards. So most of this state is unreached. The language of the state that we'll have to learn is Telugu, but thankfully, thanks to the British, most educated Indians will also speak English, and so I'll be able to teach in English, but we desire to learn the heart language of the Indians and the culture there, and so that's one of the first things that we're going to do is learn Telugu. And this is on the coast, the southeast coast of India. It's kind of a humid tropical climate, and just south of where a lot of the persecution happens. You can go to the next slide. So how are the lost going to be reached in India, right? Well, if we think about the Great Commission, it's not ultimately going to be guys like me. It's going to be Indians that have been trained, that are reaching the lost in their context, that can train, that can teach what they've been taught and pass it down to faithful men, right? So that's our goal. And yes, as God, of course, gives Susan and I opportunities, we are going to be obedient to Him and evangelize the lost there. But we will have to be very wise and careful with how we do that, because it is a kind of a closed country towards that. Our main focus will be on training the Indians to go to the tribal areas, to the areas that have the different languages, to be able to plant churches. So we're also going to be working with this man and his family, not the Rottweiler, but he's a nice dog. But so Daniel Avila, I think Ray was actually in a class or two with him. He did his MDiv and THM at TMS, Indian citizen. He moved back to India in 2017. He's been teaching and preaching and training men ever since then, kind of with the long-term goal of building a base for other people to come and help them to build a training center. And so we can go to the next slide. So what am I in particular going to be doing in India? So I'm going to be helping lead the seminary and develop its curriculum and teach. So I'll be, Lord willing, defending for my doctorate in about less than 3 weeks now, actually. So that's a prayer request. But with that education, my main role will be to lead the school and help develop that. And I'm also going to be pastoring an English service at Daniel's Church, because, again, this India, there's people in the city that won't be from the same state, so they won't speak the same language, but they'll speak English. So, and I'm a strong believer in the local church being the foundation of all of it, right? So it's not just going to be teaching men, but being able to be an example to them in the church and show them how it's done. And then as God gives me time, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for pastor conferences, for going to like tribal areas, different things like that. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities there. And so this is where the school is going to be built. They have the land for it. You can see there it's kind of a tropical area. It's about 90 to 100 almost year-round with humidity and all that. So I'll have to get used to that. So that's kind of where it's going to be built, on the outskirts of Vizag. You can go to the next slide. And they kind of have the walls built around it now, and they have like a trust that they're starting to put money into and to be able to actually physically build the school. And in the meantime, you can go to the next slide. They're finishing a classroom that will be able to hold about 50 or 60 people, and that's where, when we start the teaching, that's where it'll be. You can go to the next slide. So our missions agency, which is through Grace Church, we don't go to Grace, but they're the ones that are partnering with our church to go to India. They had us lay out a 10-year plan for what we pray, and, you know, God willing, for what we're going to be doing in India. So the 10-year plan is, part of it is going to be building people that can teach at the school, and Daniel already has 4 Indians that are getting their master's degrees from TMU or TMS, and so they're either doing it online or they're here now, and we're going to come back and they're going to help teach at the school, and we're already having faculty meetings and things like that. And so we can go to the next point. So the 1 to 4 year mark, we're really going to be laying the foundation for the school, because India has a lot of challenges. Unlike TMS, which can bring people from all over the world and can train the best people that can come and people can be funded. They have like scholarships. India, a lot of guys won't be able to have the time to come, or they'll be too poor to even come, or they won't even like speak English, right? So we're going to have a multi-pronged approach to it, where we're going to have people visit the school itself. We're going to pour into those guys, and the people that can come, those are the guys we're going to really invest in the most, so that they can be the church planters and leaders that go back to their home areas. And then the hosts and visit pastors' conferences, go to different like tribal areas, and even the guys in our own church, we're going to train and shepherd them. And then by the 5 to 8 year mark, and you think, man, it's going to take 8 years or 5 to 8 years to have a full-fledged school. Well, I could just get there and within a year be like, I have a school and we're training all these guys. And there are guys that do that, but we want to be able to build it the right way and do it in God's timing. And it does take time and work, because the main goal is really to train myself out of a job so that people can, Indians can run the school without me, and the church in that part of India can be self-producing and training men without any foreign help. So by the 5 to 8 year mark, the goal is to have a full-fledged school that is accredited, and it will be a part of TMAI, which, if you don't know what TMAI is, it's the international branches of TMS. So it stands for the Master's Academy International. And its program, its goal is to train indigenous pastors. And so they have schools in the Philippines, Myanmar, Eastern Europe, all over the world. So our goal is to become part of that network and kind of share that same doctrinal statement and vision, and really train just to make it easier to have more help in training the national pastors. And then by the 10-year mark, the long-term goal, and you can so the long-term goal in India, most of the unreached people and where most of the persecution happens is in North India. And so the long-term goal will be to train up guys that can go to the northern part of India, have the school fully run by national pastors, and whether that means I stay at the school in a different role or go somewhere else or come home, we'll see what God does, right? I always want the seminary to be rooted in the local church, as we talked about. And God's program is not to build an institution. Ultimately, it's for the local church to be able to do all of these things. So go to the next slide. So this is what Susan and I are going to be doing over the next year. So Lord willing, I need to finish my PhD. I defend for that November 8th, so you can be praying for that. And if I pass that and are done with that, we're going to finish up our support raising. And God's been very kind to bring almost everything that we need, but we still got to travel quite a lot between now and when we leave for India. And then we're going to be moving to India probably mid to late January, so just in a few months. And then kind of the smaller text there, our first year that we're in India, as I said, it's going to be language and cultural learning, fellowshipping in Daniel's church to really sit under his feet and see how they do it in India, and then start an English church service, and start some kind of training of men in the fall. We probably won't be able to formally launch the school by next fall, but we want to be laying the groundwork and starting to train guys and identify men that could be the possible church leaders and church planters. And so I think finally, the prayer requests, right? So please pray that I would be able to finish school well. I'd be faithful in that, and that God would continue to finish and provide the funds that we need to move to India, and then that God would bless Daniel and his family as they minister and are faithful to the Word of God and in their church there in Vizag, and then that God would generally raise up pastors trained in sound doctrine, and that the lost would be reached with the gospel in India. If there's anything that wasn't clear, or that's like, yeah, you can either ask it now or feel free to ask us later. You know, we'll be here after as well. If you want to stay in contact with us, on the back is our email. You can just send us your email and I'll add you to our newsletter. We're going to send one out next month, and then when we're on the field, we're going to do it every month. So that's a great way to kind of just like stay in touch. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I hope it was encouraging to you, and just to see that, you know, we aren't, honestly, I mean, Susan's special, but I'm not anything special. We're just trying to be faithful to what God keeps putting in our path, and hopefully we can be an example of what God can do if we just try and be faithful to Him. So let's close in prayer, and I think Owen's going to come up, so let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity to briefly hear from your word. We just thank you for, once again, your promise that you will build your church and that you will glorify yourself through your church despite our weaknesses, our failures. So I pray, Father, that you would move in our hearts and strengthen us to wherever you send us, whether that's here in this community or whether it's overseas. Help us to be humble and faithful and willing to go wherever you would have us go so that we can honor your name and see people come to a saving faith in Christ and see your church built up in love, in unity, and holiness, Father. In Christ's name, amen.